I dream?
Max Pendrum.
No.
Where am I? In bed? What am I doing?
Listen to you drop in.
Talking to myself.
Look, I must have a star on my door.
I'm gonna sell.
The door.
Swing doors, huh?
What? Okay,
hold on. There's someone in my phone. Asking is just polite instead of demanding.
Swing.
Now I know I'm dreaming.
Citizen Carter to Network 23. Come on, guys, clear this link.
How do I get this silly leap? Count those bars on the window. 1, 2, 3, sleep.
What kind of show is this, anyway?
And at a completely different end of the day, I am Phoebe Squared. Thank you to Karen Lang for an excellent Kinky Afro program this morning. As per usual, you'll hear from her again next Thursday. And without further ado, let me introduce my two co-hosts tonight. One is Matt High and one is Peely. He's known as Peely, two of the organisers of the Meredith Music Festival. And tonight's Max Headroom will, in, you know, as much as we can do in an hour, be celebrating and looking back at 20 years of the Meredith Music Festival. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Fee.
How are you going?
Good, thank you.
20 years. How's it feel? Happy birthday.
Thanks very much.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It went awfully quick. It really did.
It's like a teenager growing up.
That's true. It's absolutely true.
It happens before you know it.
Yeah.
It's certainly given us enough headaches.
It has, yeah. But it's good to get here. We certainly didn't think we'd get to 20. So
that's right.
It's good.
I wonder when she'll leave home.
Yeah, that's it. Kick her out. We need the extra room.
Well, let's start off for those of the... some people are still uninitiated, strangely enough. There are those people around. It's been going for 20 years. So tell us about the very first Meredith Music Festival.
Well, Greg can tell you that.
Oh, well, the very first one was slightly different to what it is now. 250 people in watching bands on the back of a truck.
Nice.
I think with a tiny petrol generator down in a creek to run the whole show. I think we might have had three lights on the stage. Or maybe it was one. I can't remember. But very different show. It was. But I guess in a lot of ways the essence is still the same.
Yeah. How does it feel like when you talk about the essence? What is the essence of Meredith Music Festival to you guys?
Oh, if we honestly really knew that, then
you could
we'd be
it.
Able to answer that question. But I really don't know. You know, it's really hard to sum up. But I guess the basic elements are that you're in the bush. It's not a marketplace. Like, there's nothing to really buy apart from food and drink and maybe a t-shirt, I suppose. But it's you're in the bush with your friends and there's good music and you're meant to kind of live in some kind of peace and harmony without sounding too hippie. You're kind of ish.
That's right.
It'd be about it, would it?
Yeah.
There's a few simple. Other things,
I mean,
as well.
There was one or two other. But I guess the essence of it was music, food, friends and beer.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. I mean, originally it was a party.
That's right.
It never really set out to be what it is now. But
A long party.
That's
a
right.
really long party.
That's was it meant to go for the weekend?
It was meant to go for the weekend. Yeah. My theory was that the best part of a party often was the next morning when everyone got up, hung over, telling funny stories, what you got up to, and you sit around, have a bit of food, maybe another beer, and it just gets funnier and funnier.
You tie one on.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the idea was to throw a party so far away that nobody could go home.
And so how many of you were involved? Because a lot of people don't know that either. They got it organised. First one.
Oh, the very first one, there was three. There was myself, Marcus Downey, and Chris Nolan.
Yep.
And Matt came along to the first one.
I had a ball.
So you were a punter, Matt?
Oh, yeah, that first one. I did. That's the only one I've been to as a punter.
Wow.
And I wrecked it after that by joining the organising team.
Look at what happened.
That's right. Oh, God.
Well, we will talk about Chris a bit later on because he's obviously an integral part of Meredith for more than a number of reasons. But we hope tonight that we'll get a few drop-ins from various people. Some people couldn't be here tonight, but have sent their best wishes. And this is the first cab off the rank.
Hey, this is Brendan from Eddie Current Suppression Ring, just wishing
Meredith a happy 20th birthday. Congratulations. Meredith was the first festival to give us a show, and we played a show in the morning, and it was the best. And we've been back there a couple more times, and it's always been fun. We've had some really good experiences up there on stage, and yeah, it's always quite amazing to see such a good crowd have such a good festival. And yeah, I can't thank them enough for giving us a chance to do that.
It's not the only reason I moved in your direction. Oh, your eyes, such an awesome brown, a look of lust. I think I found just a couple of days. Take me long. Now I think I'm lost. Like a fish in a bowl. Like a fish in a bowl. Just a couple of days. This so far. It's a fire to. Precious rose. A rose, rose, rose.
Now that was Eddie Current's Suppression Ring, and thanks to Brendan for dropping in and doing a little shout out for Meredith. One of my favourite moments at Meredith Music Festival, I have to say, would have been during that track being performed in 2009, and when Eddie Current took to the stage, I thought sometimes you need to be the punter. So I was fortunate enough DJing on the Friday night to have a backstage pass. Like, they, wow, that's just so exciting. It's such a coveted piece of, you know, plastic. But I was like, I need to be a punter. I don't want to be up on the stage. And I went out there and I got amongst it. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to abuse the band, you know, the backstage pass. I'll get up there just so I can see it from both angles and like feel how lucky I am. And that's when Brendan literally divided the Meredith crowd down the middle. So from where I was standing, I could see this Path of Grass in the beautiful Meredith Amphitheatre. And not one person hassled him as he walked his way down and sort of right up to the back of the crowd, singing the whole time. And it was just this amazing moment where you kind of go, that's part of the essence of Meredith to me as well, is nobody hassles you. Everybody's there for the same reasons. And it was like nobody was going bananas, like, oh, my God. They were just letting him do his thing and sharing in a moment rather than sort of destroying a moment.
Yeah, that's great.
So it was just, you know, I can't tell you how good that was. And for those of you who would like to have a look, there's a bit of that footage. A lot of people have got there, you know, these days everybody's got a camera phone or, you know, videoing stuff. So there's a bit of that footage online as well. What I did want to talk about, one of the dudes down at Meredith that a lot of people will be familiar with is Bernie. And a lot of people, I don't know whether he's cool with this. Bernie's a pretty cool guy, but it's like one-legged Bernie. Everybody knows one-legged Bernie.
I think he's cool with it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's cool with it.
Bernie Clifford, I think his real name might be.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought we might dip in to Bernie's, had a little bit of a chat to us. This is Bernie.
Bernie Clifford. I've been fortunate enough to come from the very early days. But back in those early days, I was fully limbed, as you could say. I had both my legs, and in 92, I had an accident where I lost a leg. And that was in a November of 92, and I couldn't make Meredith that year because it was only about 4 weeks before Meredith that the leg come off. But it's very similar to Chris, who happened a few years later, that by me being able to come to Meredith, not only did it get me closer to all the friends I already had, but it was sort of was a very visual cue that I'm back in the world and I can cope and move on in the history. So it's really important to me, Meredith, in a way, besides being absolutely berserk for 72 hours. And if it wasn't for my friends helping me put up me annex to me van and all that for those early years, I would not have come. And actually for many, many years, I only even knew Meredith from our tent site, which we've fortunately had in the same spot in the old site, and in the new site we've got the same spot thanks to Dougal Buchanan's caravan being permanently landlocked in the same spot. I only ever knew Meredith from that campsite to the front of the stage and from the front of the stage to the Big Flamingo. And I never knew anything else about it because being on crutches and one leg, and I couldn't get any further and the wheelchair wasn't coping with the terrain and all that. And it wasn't until recently, in the last few years, I've got myself this electric all-terrain buggy. But I'm now able to go anywhere in the festival, but I also can carry 7 slabs down to our base in front of the stage. And all our Meritagians from the Meritage, our campsite we call, you know, we just load up me beast, we drop it down, and then I'm the HQ for the whole festival day, night, until we get back to our site. And it's just fantastic. And so Meredith is synonymous to me in that I live and cope and go berserk in the world. You know, that's what it means to me.
Isn't that lovely? Now, wow, I'm going to tell the listeners, Matt and Peely haven't heard these stories. This is the first time they're hearing them tonight. So how does that make you guys feel?
That's great. Bernie's he's a lovely fellow, but that is a really nice story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, like, for him, that was part of his recovery, really.
Yeah.
I mean, such a horrendous accident.
Well, I mean, for us, as much as it's a party and it's very much about a good time, we also know a lot of people believe in it, for want of a better word. People get tattoos. People ask us to get married there. People name their kids Meredith after the festival. And for us, that's a responsibility, isn't it? Not to taint that essence or not to abuse that or exploit it, you know, but to keep it going in the right fashion.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
when you hear things like that, it just makes you all the more sure that that's what you've got to do.
That's right.
Yeah. Good on him.
Yep.
People like Bernie are really part of that amazing story. The first time I met Bernie, he came up to me in a mosh and just was just arms around, you know, just got excited and just felt like I'd known him for my whole life.
I think a lot of people had that similar experience with Bernie.
It's true.
And it also reminds me of the first time I went to Meredith, the first time anybody said to me, "Happy Meredith."
Yeah, right.
And it kind of does sound a bit hippie, but
yeah.
it's that genuinely people are just like, they're looking after everybody.
It's true.
It's true.
And I've never seen anything. Like, I have watched people shade somebody who's completely off guards, lying on the ground in the blistering sun, and people, you know, covering them up.
Yeah.
There's a great sense of ownership in our crowd, and the crowd takes a real responsibility for what happens around them, which is completely unique. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so when somebody says Happy Meredith to you, they're not some freaky hippie. They're all there for the same reasons as you are.
Right.
Talking about Bernie also leads me to talking about Chris Nolan.
Sure.
So do you want to just tell the listeners, for those who are not too sure who Chris Nolan is, because obviously an integral part, I do have a little chat with Ma and Pa Nolan shortly. So
excellent.
Should we maybe just say that he is one of the original organisers?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Peely and he had the idea to start Meredith. It's as simple as that. And the Meredith Supernatural Amphitheatre, and indeed the Meredith Natural Amphitheatre prior to that, are on the Nolan family farm, which has been in the Nolan family for generations. And, you know, I think maybe Peely suggested it to Nolsey, and Nolsey went, well, I've got the place for the party, and here we are, you know. He'll be That's listening right. right now too.
Will so.
Really?
Yep.
Hey,
hello, Nolsey.
Nolsey, how you going?
Most, a lot of people would see Nolsey up with the folks. In the special tent.
In the Nolan stand.
In the Nolan stand.
We've actually purpose-built a Nolan stand for them this year, so they've got a great new building
for
them to hang out in and watch the bands.
Well, Mick James, the program manager here, did manage to get down and have a bit of a chat with a few people. So here's Mick James and his chat with Ma and Pa Nolan.
I think I'd like to tell the story when he first... Well, the first one they dreamt of but never got off the ground, they sold about 50 tickets, and I think they refunded the money. And the second one, I remember him coming up this weekend, and he said, if we don't get it off the ground this time, well, it's a joke, you know. People are not going to take any notice. So, and I said, where are you going to have it? Oh, he said, up in the paddock I had up the road, a reserve paddock. It was actually government land, but we leased it. And I said, but, you know, this fern's 4 foot high and what have you. Oh, yeah, but we'll get it cleaned up. Well, I don't think he would have. So I went up with the tractor and slasher. But anyway, we got a site cleared, and that's where it started.
Actually, it's interesting, just following up on that, because Chris, I think Chris probably did have some sense. He had no, I mean, who could have imagined that this... And I think I knew there was something in bringing the music of young people and voice of young people, I suppose, to a beautiful place. But really, what came out of that has been the punters and the organisers and just holding... I think people holding true to the spirit, the original spirit. But there's an infamous story about... there was a photograph taken of Jack at the 94 festival in an old Comet tip truck, and he's got his hand out the window and he's in the driver's seat and he's looking very disgruntledly at Christopher, who's there with the hat on and looking too immaculate to be working, and, you know, hand going, and Chris was in coma for several months, 6 months, and that was the photo he woke up to. My sister and nephew were in the room. My sister said to my nephew, what do you think's going on in that photo? And put a caption to it. And Podge, who knows Chris really well, said, I reckon Jack's saying to Chris, what the F are you wanting me to do now? Jack was the practical one. Chris was the entrepreneur, dreamer.
When the original idea was put to you, I'm sure lots of parents just would have said no, they would have ruled it out completely. What was going through your mind when you said yes?
It wasn't something completely foreign to us. Jack and I had been presidents of organisations here in the town. We'd got bands here that were unheard of, unthinkable to Meredith. There used to be a bit of competition between us, actually, when we were both president of the two organisations that held the best balls in Meredith in those days. And Chris had grown up pretty much with music. And I was just telling somebody that we had a woolshed Christmas party one year, and Port Fairy was mentioned, and it was actually the fellow who started Port Fairy, Jamie McHugh, who actually, when he'd started a band in Geelong, he came and played at our Christmas party, and we had him here in the hall. So
also in the woolshed.
In the woolshed, yeah. So I suppose he'd grown up with that sort of background, and his music was very different from Jack's, who's country. And Jack's still waiting for Meredith to get a band that he likes. Chris used to say, Jack, we'll get Johnny Cash out for last, Meredith. And Jack said to him a couple of times, I think, you better hurry up, or those other fellas better hurry up, or I'll be gone before Cash is. But anyway, Cash, of course, is gone. Yes.
We did have Paul Kelly last year, and at least he played a little bit of stuff that I... And I have heard a couple of... There was a cover band there one night playing a couple of Cash songs, which I couldn't believe.
It's interesting. It's a music festival. It's not really about the music for most people, I suspect. The tickets sell out before we know who half the bands that are playing are. It's something much more.
Well, I think it's... Yeah, obviously, it's the atmosphere. It's the layout of the place, I suppose. The freedom of it.
I think the music probably gives expression to some of what's... I don't know, what's deep in people. I think people, when the chips are down, we don't need... We need friends, we need the land and the environment. Just, you can't control it. So corporate stuff, people control everything, control other people's lives, control their own life. And that's not the way life works, really. So I think the environment plays a huge part on... You either like it and come back, or you don't like it and you stay away. Yeah.
I've got one last question. You talked partly about this in your speech, but Chris's life change happened in May.
96.
So you were a way out from the festival. It must have gone through your minds that, well, the festival finishes now, we've got other things to worry about. What went through your minds during that period?
Well, that was a big question, wasn't it, at the time? Because we thought first up, well, we didn't know where he'd be. We didn't know whether he'd be there by the next festival. That was the big thing. Because, you know, at that stage it was just so uncertain.
I think the central thing was, for me anyway, and I think for us at the time, Chris had a medical roller coaster. He came close to death several times during that period. But I think that central thing when we came down to it was, what would he have wanted? And that's been a central question for us right through. So what would he have wanted? And we thought he'd wanted to go on. It was, you know, he was planning for it, for that festival. So that was one of the main points, I think, of, and I remember he woke up officially on the 19th of November, and we were able to tell him, although we believe now and know now that he was hearing and understanding well before that so-called wake up from coma. And we always spoke to him as if he was able to answer us. And so we told him the preparations for the festival, and I'll never forget, he wasn't able to get there that year, but I'll never forget the guys coming into St V's and the joy, you know, that was on his face when they were able to tell him that the festival had gone on. Yeah.
Look, anyone who's been to the festival and seen the two of you with Chris will have a really clear sense of what the festival means to him now. But in your words, what does it mean to Chris?
It's hard to know, but I mean, it's hard to put in words, I think. It means a huge amount to Chris. I don't think I realised quite how much until he was asked to open the festival on the new site. And it was just extraordinary. And he now opens Golden Plains, as many of you would know. And just the lead up to that and the excitement and his joy on stage and, you know, that effort to give that long blink. And I think, you know, it really gives him a sense of being useful. Being, you know, they talk... You get all this language about community access and participation, but a lot of it is gobbledygook. And it's when you get into it and you get a two-way thing going that's what most of us need. That's what the way we participate. That's the way we are as people. And I think that's very important to Chris.
Queenstown flood is estimated to affect about the same population of Australia. The risk of deadly diseases spreading, such as cholera, is now a reality. On Sunday, November 28th, the Tote hosts a fundraiser with all proceeds going to Oxfam, featuring The Currency, Murder Rats, Otto Musenbau, Slocum's Pussy, Tommy and the Tanks, Team Rad, and Dispersing Clouds, plus the world-famous Tote Barbecue. Starts at 3 p.m, $10 at the door. A Triple R community service announcement.
With a sound described as lo-fi and widescreen, expansive solos and hanging sheets of noise on surprisingly hummable hooks, Iowa will be releasing Lose Yourself, backed with Reason's Red 7-inch at the Old Bar this Friday from 8:30 p.m. Joining Iowa and dusting off old favourites for the handheld duo, making a one-off reunion featuring Kirsty Stegwas, Ace Garage Rockers Mass Cult, and Liam Stewart. Iowa, at the Old Bar this Friday, Triple R sponsored.
What is up? This is Greg Gillis of Girl Talk. You're listening to Triple R.
Yeah, there's some diversity right there, because Girl Talk has certainly taken the Meredith stage by storm, and just the diversity as the years go on is kind of quite incredible. You've got a really good crew of people sourcing the good stuff from around the world, and one of them close to our heart, of course, Woody.
Absolutely.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
what a great man Woody McDonald is.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think I'd ever hand over
that job. No, I bet that would have been hard.
It was a sad day when I realised the apprentice was actually the master. It was very disappointing.
He'll be listening.
He will.
Good
Hello,
afternoon.
Master.
Now, part of what we're doing here as the 20th birthday celebrations of Meredith Music Festival here, I'm here with Matt High, Peely, me, Fair B Squared, hanging out at the wrong end of the day, and just talking about a few of the stories. Great story from Jack and Mary Nolan, just... What an amazing couple of people.
Good people.
They certainly are.
It'd be no Meredith without them.
We're very, absolutely. Very lucky to have them as landlords.
That's right.
Mm. And just, I mean, Mary's certainly been quite outspoken about care of younger people with acquired brain injuries, et cetera, and, and, you know, just trying to make the best out of, you know, really bad circumstances. So I take my Meredith Pete cap off to you.
Spot on.
Absolutely. She's an incredible woman on that front.
Yeah. So, and I just love Jack talking about getting Johnny Cash on.
That's right. Yeah.
Damn, he missed out.
Yeah.
And do, please, just do go and say hello to them when you're
That's
down
right.
at Meredith. Go and say good day. And
exactly right.
There's always a bit of money, a bit of donation you can make towards, stuff that Mary's got going on.
Sure. But even just say hello to Chris as well. Chris and Mary and Jack will be up the back. Chris is wheelchair bound and can't really respond verbally, but he would love people to go up and say hello and thanks and whatnot up the back of the amphitheatre.
He can't respond. He will respond in his own way, but he can hear and he can understand.
That's right.
So it's important for him that people go up and say hello. Yeah. And he certainly loves it.
Well, he's definitely, you know, he's the integral part of Meredith. And, I mean, I absolutely love that he opens the Golden Plains Festival with that blink. She was so right. Just that here it goes. And it's such a concerted effort.
Yeah,
that's right.
You can just tell, like, how much he's loving
he's
doing it.
He's really trying to blink. Yep. Oh, I'm very happy,
loving it.
Yeah. That's it.
Now, part of what we had going on at Triple R was we asked people to write a bit of a story about their Meredith experiences, and, wow, we got some pretty interesting stuff. Obviously, we can't talk about all of them, but what we've decided to do is we've got a couple of Triple R luminaries to read out a couple of the stories, and this is one of them. Unfortunately, this is not one of the winners. We will do that. I'll give you plenty of a heads up towards the end of the show. This is Max Crawdaddy, and he's reading a story from Duncan Buchanan. This one's called Mumbo.
Mum picked us up from Meredith. Read by Max Crawdaddy. While arguing over which one of us would stay sober and drive home from Meredith 2004, I turned to Mum and said, "You'll come and get us, won't you, Mumbo?" "Where's Meredith?" she asked. "About a half an hour off the Queenscliff Ferry." I lied. "Yeah, I'll do it, and I'll bring you a fresh box of beer, but I'll need a car with a full tank of juice." She'd need it, all right. "It's about 3 hours each way from home." The weekend was brilliant, and Sunday over rocks around. We're balancing on our heels when Mumbo shows up, as promised, with a fresh box on ice. Holy shit. Mum's at Meredith, I thought. How did she get in, I asked. I just told them I was here to pick up my boys, and they laughed and waved me through. Bless. So we show Mum the stage and decide we ought to shout her a pink flamingo. Got any ID? Asked the bouncer. I'm 34, my brother's 36, and Mumbo here is on the wrong side of 60. Sorry, mate. No ID. No pink flamingo.
I know that, thank you, Max Crawdaddy, and Duncan Buchanan for his story, Mumbo. I know that there'll be quite a few people out there going, yeah, we've all been knocked back at some point from the pink flamingo.
Yeah.
They don't muck around. It doesn't matter if you're on the wrong side of 60. You ain't getting in. No ID, no entrance.
It's a simple rule.
So, you know, it's a bit of tough love. That's what that is.
That's right.
It does lead me to, well, pink flamingo is obviously iconic at Meredith Music Festival, but also what's iconic is the gift.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk to us about what happens with the Meredith gift?
Well, the Meredith gift is a nude foot race with a few rules, and it started in about 93 when one of the bands who may or may not have been Spencer Jones and the Holy Spirits was late for their show on Sunday, and we thought, what are we going to do to fill in the time? And someone said, oh, how about we just have a race in the crowd? And I was
brilliant.
Like, all right, you know, all right, we'd get people to run.
Yeah.
That would be funny. And then someone, and we said, was there a prize? I don't know. If there there's a prize, a slab of cold beer. Because by that stage, you know, no one's got cold beer.
No.
This is 15 years ago. And someone came to the front of the crowd and said, what do I win if I do it in the nude? To which we said, of course, two boxes of beer. and I think, I don't know if he won or not. But then the idea of nudity in the gift was like, well, of course, everyone should be nude or underpanted. So now there are heats and a final. We'd probably have 150 people entering. There's a women's race, and it's a nude foot race, winner take all, basically, with a few rules like you can't drive your car.
And, that's a good rule.
Yeah.
I like that one.
If you wear lycra, you get set on fire.
That's right.
Right. Also a good rule.
I can't remember the others, but, yeah, it's
Please have a look at the Meredith site, because there's an awesome, like, and do spend the 90 minutes watching the slideshow. There's a lot of bits in there. There's a lot of dicks in there.
There is,
a lot of dicks. Dicks are funny when they're on the run.
Mm.
And please enjoy what you're about to see, but maybe not with the children. Now, somebody who took the gift very, very seriously is a regular contributor, punter to the Meredith Music Festival. And he's one of our very own too. He's one of the co-hosts on Livewire on the weekends. JK is who I'm talking about. And, we've got him to regale us with his story.
It started in 1999. I went to my first ever Meredith. I knew about the race. Race starts at about a 2 meter lead on everybody else. And then I slipped, fell, smashed my face in, my teeth. Everyone just went over me. Next thing I know, I remember waking up in the St. John's ambulance tent. All I remember saying was, did I win? Did I win? New decade, year 2000. I'm not coming last. There's no way. I'm finishing this race. I'm going to be the first one to get the Golden Jocks. I'm about half a metre away from the Golden Jocks. Arm outreach. I've got quite long arms. There, in my head, I've got it. Last second, somebody pushes me just to the side. And second. Following year, 2001, the whole year, like each year that I would prepare for the race, I would just be focusing on December. I don't know. I guess it's like any sport where, you know, it'd be like the Olympics or the, you know, grand final. While I had all these other things going on in my life, that was the focus. 2001, exactly same thing happened as in 2002. In 2002, won that race by about 5 lengths, and it was deemed a false start. Second time, again, won, Golden Jocks in my hands finally, on stage, slab, and yeah, it was like, oh, finally, after 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, I finally get there. End of story, that's it. About 8 months later, I think, as they were preparing for the 2003 Meredith, there was a message on the Meredith website saying that the previous year's race was deemed a no race. So I sent Auntie Meredith an email letting know that, well, as far as everyone knew, you know, I had the golden jocks, I had the slab, I was announced the winner. There was a false start, but I won the Meredith gift. You can't take this away from me. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. They saw some sense in this and then immediately reinstated me as the winner. So I came back to defend my crown in 2003, came second again. So in 2004, I decided, look, I've got to do something bigger than this. Spoke to the guys at Meredith saying, look, I'm going to run from my hometown in Langwarrin to Meredith in the nude and attempt a world record for nude distance running. 210 kilometres over 2 weeks, an average of 10 kilometres a day. In the built-up areas around Victoria, I'll run at night to avoid trouble with the law. Plenty of training, watching a lot of interviews and reading a lot about Steve Monteghetti, Rob DiCostella, Lisa Ondiecki. There was people cheering, people giving thumbs up, people just yelling out random stuff, people screaming out of cars. All good though, all positive. I don't know, it was pretty inspiring. Can I do this thing? Can I push through when it got hard? Like when I hurt my knee or when I got a strain or when I felt like I couldn't finish that day, you know. And also there was the hero faxes or the hero emails. People wrote poems and I ran into the Supernatural Amphitheatre to Chariots of Fire and a screaming crowd had Matt on a quad bike behind cheering me on. Yeah, it was like sort of this hush. Yeah, it was just stupid. Like, people screaming, high-fiving. It was stupid and emotional. I saw someone in the crowd hug them just before I got on stage. And then promptly retired. So, for the 20th anniversary, I decided that I'm going to have one last race. I guess my reasons sort of shifted now. About the festival, about the relationships that are formed there and this, you know, strong kind of bond with the land and, you know, with music and time. And, you know, this festival's a massive part of my life. Why wouldn't I come back for the 20th to have one last race? So it's time to make a comeback. One last round. One more time.
Sam Bean from RNY and you're listening to Triple R FM.
This week at the Grace Darling, tonight, Sangra EP launch. Friday, the Solomon single launch. On the weekend from midday, the Hello Sailor Vintage Fair. Saturday night in the cellar, Ready, Steady, Go. Soul Jazz, Boogaloo and Jamaican Scar. Sunday 28th, Sophia Bruce with Lost Animal and Kieran J. Kellanen launching his single, She. Doors, 4:30pm. 114 Smith Street, Collingwood. Triple R sponsors.
Melbourne's post-punk trio Damn Taran launched their debut EP, Pet Hate, at Pony, 68 Little Collins Street, Saturday, November 27. Bone, Kids of Zoo and Daddy Longlegs will support. Special guest DJ Fanderpants, Andy from Digger and the Pussycats. $10 entry, doors at 8:30. Triple R sponsors.
Hello, this is Andrew W.K., and I wanted to call in on the telephone to wish a very happy 20th birthday to the Meredith Music Festival. Now, I remember very, very clearly, almost like it was yesterday, when I was fortunate enough to perform solo by myself at the Meredith Festival on the huge stage there with a huge crowd. And I got to admit, I was terrified of how I hadn't been to Australia to perform in over 5 years. I wasn't sure if the people even want me to be here. The crowd didn't seem to know if they wanted me there either. But then the music kicked in, the hands started to clap, and a party was had. I'll never forget it. It was one of the greatest days I've ever had as a performer. And I really mean that. And I'm so excited to be coming back to enjoy Australia once again. Thank you. Thank you, Meredith Festival. Happy, happy 20th anniversary. Party hard.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
people know how much I love that man, and that was a real moment at Meredith. And he told the truth. He was like, he didn't really know how it was going to go, but it ended up going really well.
Unbelievably well.
Having my teenager come out of a mosh pit and go, I just had Andrew WK's package right in my face. I didn't know whether I was going to be arrested as a bad parent or whether I should just go, hell yeah, and welcome to rock and roll. Andrew WK there and party hard. Something I wanted to tip into as well is everybody loves the Tucker tent, don't they? Now,
they
how
do,
did the Tucker tent happen?
I was very early on. I think it was Chris's suggestion that originally it started with just relatives of the Nolans putting on a barbecue to help feed the people. I think we realised that nobody had bought anything to eat and we were getting a bit hungry. So it started with relatives of the Nolans, and then Chris suggested that that some of the sporting groups in Meredith might benefit from putting on a sausage sizzle. And that's basically how it started. And the Tucker tent went from that to what it is now, which is a purpose-built building on the site that they've funded and paid for, and it now funds all the sporting and community bodies in Meredith, and it's all run on volunteer labour, and it's a fantastic way for us to integrate with the community, and it's been great to watch the community, you know, thrive and build itself up from this opportunity that they've had, and it's all been through really hard work on their behalf, but gee, it's been good. And those egg and bacon sandwiches in the morning, life-saving.
Mm. Yeah. You can smell them. It is. Mm. There's sometimes that you need extra inspiration to get out of the tent before music starts.
That's right.
And sometimes that gets you over the line. We have Mick James and his trusty recording devices managed to grab a little bit of this.
My name's John Diffie. For the last 4 years, I've been the coordinator of the Meredith Community Tucker Tent. The idea originally, in the first few years when the festival started, it was done privately by parents and relatives of the Nolans. The Tucker Tent came about when the cricket club was asked to do the catering. It then went to all the other sporting clubs within Meredith, and now includes the school, the kindergarten and the local hall. So any profit made at the end of the day is split up amongst them. There's a committee of 11, and there's normally a volunteer workforce of up to 300. With the funds that we get from the music festival, that enables them, and they're all volunteer run organisations, the sporting clubs, so it enables, like, for example, the golf club to hire machinery that's necessary for cutting the fairways and maintaining the greens. And with the tennis club, it enabled them to pay the wages of a professional coach to come out here, which their children out here would not have had otherwise. With the school, it's enabled them to purchase better quality computers. And with the kindergarten, it enables them to keep the fees down for families. So in all, it's of such benefit to the community that I honestly couldn't see the community operating to the level it does without it.
So that's some pretty amazing stuff as well. So you guys are definitely, you don't just sort of rock up. It's an ongoing thing where these funds are filtered through, you know, over the year to various things throughout Meredith. What other impacts are there on the township of Meredith with not just Meredith but the introduction of Golden Plains? What does that mean to Meredith?
There's the obvious, I guess, economic impacts where people buy things at the shop and people go to the petrol station, and that's been great for those businesses. But perhaps the harder to spot but more pleasing for us impact is that it's provided some sort of cohesion, I guess, in the community of Meredith, that these sporting groups and social groups have got together and formed these, you know, the community Tucker tent. And in Inverleigh, there's a group that get together and do all our waste management and clean the toilets, the wonderful composting toilets that we have on site, run by our faithful Andy Tannehill and Heidi. It's been the greatest introduction ever to a festival, those composting toilets. But the social groups that get together and with volunteer labour look after that, and our waste management and the community Tucker tent, it, as I said, it's bonded the community and created a sense of pride perhaps within Meredith that makes us feel great to be associated with.
Billy, do you think that they love it, like they look forward to that time of the year? I mean, I know that it's a big task, but do you think that, you know, at the heart of it, they actually really look forward to it?
I sincerely hope they do.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It is very exciting.
And it's
for them, they're very proud of what they do.
Yeah.
And proud of the fact that they get together and manage it all. We have very little input into the community tucker tent. So I think, yeah, they do love it. It is incredibly hard work, and there are people in that community that work very, very hard mm-hmm. to make that happen.
Yeah.
But the results are there for them, and it's great for us to see that.
And from early days, they've often commented at how polite our crowd is. Like, perhaps early on, you know, you mightn't have thought that
some
would be the case.
Unruly kids.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or strange looking
sure.
people from the city and what.
Yeah.
Invariably we get comments, oh, they're awful polite, and you know.
That's
it's really good.
Because
yeah. really
you're dealing with, I mean, there's a lot of younger people that work in there from the sporting groups, but you're also dealing with, you know, the more senior citizens of Meredith as well that come from the hall committee and that sort of thing. So there's a whole age spectrum there that are working within the tucker tent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they seem to enjoy it. There's
yeah.
a lot of smiles in that tucker tent.
There is, isn't there?
Can't really call it a tent anymore, though. It's quite a flash building.
The first time I saw it, I was like, well, yeah, well, right. tucker tent.
Bloody
look
da.
At you. But, yeah, it was just awesome. One other story that got sent in was from a gentleman called Tone. But I might actually go with the story that is about whenever you talk to people about Meredith, a lot of people will come up and say, oh, the Dirty Three. It's just like you can't finish a sentence about Meredith without the Dirty Three being injected. And Megan Hill actually wrote a story about that.
Even the Gods Love the Dirty Three, written by Megan Hill, read by Jacinta Parsons. Meredith has dished up some crazy and varied weather over the years, bone dry and windy one day, raining and up to your knees in the mud the next. It never spoils the day, and sometimes it just sets the scene perfectly. Like the year that the Dirty Three played the main stage, Saturday night, just after sunset. The soaring strains of that magic violin seemed to set the sky alight as a massive lightning storm raged in the distance over the stage. It was real spine-tingling stuff, the perfect Dirty Three experience, the perfect Meredith experience.
The Solomons released their debut film clip Rise and Fall from their self-titled debut EP, out now through Pop Boomerang Records and MGM. The Solomons launch Rise and Fall at the Grace Darling Hotel this Friday with guests The Kremlin Succession and Boogie Monster. Tickets $10 through Moshtix or at the door if still available. Free CDs for the first 50 payers, Triple R sponsors. This week at the Thornbury Theatre, Saturday the 27th, My Friend the Chocolate Cake. Sunday 28th, Women of Letters featuring Mary Delahunty, Hannah Gadsby, Lisa Miller and more. Coming up, Matt Corby, Underbelly Casbah Christmas Show, Bottoms Up Burlesque, The Black Eyed Susan's Christmas Show, Monster Erotica, The Church, Owen Pallett, Elan Chester and The Books. For more info, visit thethornburytheatre.com, 859 High Street, Thornbury, Triple R sponsors.
G'day, this is Glenn Richards, previously of Augie March, hopefully of Augie March in the future as well. Happy 20th birthday, Meredith Festival, the best festival in the known universe as far as I know. When we were very young at Augie March, we were, I suppose you would call us victims of nepotism. We were fortunate enough to have as our manager one of the main men who runs the Meredith Festival. He got us along perhaps when we were a little underprepared. I won't go into it, but suffice to say, it's probably one of the worst ever performances at Meredith. We got many chances to make it up to him from that point on, and eventually, I think by the last time we played there, we might have even earned our spot. A beautiful festival, the only one that I probably still feel like I want to go to.
Thanks to Glenn Richards. I love that story that he kind of just admitted, like, we're a bit crap, but we're still, they persevered, and I think we earned our stripes.
Very true. Very true.
Another band that people talk about, My Finest Hour, is certainly a moment for people when that was up and running. And just, you know, that time of night, et cetera, and just great. And thanks also to Jacinta for reading out that gorgeous story about the Dirty Three that so many people talk about. It was a really heartfelt story. Lovely. Now, we're almost at the end of this Max Headroom. So it's very hard to celebrate 20 years of Meredith in an hour.
That's so true.
There's so much that we could talk about, obviously. And one of the winners, I'll rephrase that. The winner of the very last two tickets to the Meredith Music Festival for 2010 has been won by Tone from Cold War Calculators. And congratulations to him. He's written a great story that Bigsy has read for us. So I'm going to play that for you right now.
Him. Meredith, written by Tone from the Cold War Calculators. Tents? Check. BMX? Check. Mannequins, stubby holders, truck batteries, animatronic frog, bar, a dozen Eskies, the kitchen sink! We leave early morning, 1970s trailer loaded, almost to breaking point. Tickets? Check. On into the bush camp. Total panic now. There's only one chance. So the first spot that looks right is it. Trailer pulled apart. Cars emptied onto car roofs. Tents thrown about. Breakfast beers go down and ropes go up. Soon there's a vague outline. Soon a structure. Walls up, bar set up, sink filled with ice. Before we know it, there's a room fit for the hottest December day. Or the wettest December day. Or whatever Meredith decides to throw at us. A quick glance at the supernatural amphitheatre, green and lush, soon to be a sea of people. By the time night falls, we're all full of whatever we've managed to get hold of. Music fills the air, surrounded by smiling, bouncing strangers. Lost friends? Make new ones. Watch the bands, watch the Ferris wheel. A post-rain sausage from the Tucker tent is a death-defying mission worth every drunken slip. Pitch dark paths, dark pitch tents, back and forth from camp to stage, stage to camp, cocktails, running into her or him, constant grinning, exhaustion and excitement in waves. At dawn, a deep sleep, broken by the sounds of excitement. It'll all be happening again tomorrow.
So there it is. Congratulations to Tone for that story. There were so many stories. All of them were great in their own way. Everybody has a special story to tell, obviously, about Meredith. And we are about to get out of here. We're just running a little over time. Is that okay with you, Neil? Give me the nod. He's giving me the nod. Because I'd really like to squeeze in this from Mary Nolan, which was a speech that she made just recently.
I think the essence of Meredith is still very much there and been developed and brought to a fullness that was perhaps not there in the early, rather naive days. But it's not been spoiled. Yeah, I'd just like to say some of you we've never met, not yet anyway, and I hope perhaps we get the chance to do that, but Chris, Jack and I never realised 20 years ago the journey that all of us would come on, and I'd just like to say thank you all very much.
Lovely and heartfelt and just what a woman, huh?
Yep, totally.
What Absolutely. A lovely lady. And as I said earlier, we all said, do go and say hello, especially to Nolsey, to Chris, when you're walking by at Meredith or Golden Plains. And we have come to the end of the show. I can't believe that was an hour.
It's gone so quickly.
Yes, incredibly quickly. And there'll be thousands of people saying, why didn't we talk about this? And
we just
couldn't. We might do a, who knows, let's do one for Golden Plains.
Sure. Why it's been 5 years.
There you go. Fifth birthday celebration. celebrations coming up. Stay tuned. Matt High, thank you so much.
Thank you, Fee. Thank you very, very much.
Peely.
It's been a pleasure.
Great thank to you, meet Fee. You. And you, you two too. Guys are absolutely like amazing groundwork that you guys have put in. Especially Matt, I see you at the festival and it's just, it's insane. Everybody that works at the Meredith Music Festival, the amount of time and effort that they put in, not just to get the bands out there, but to make everybody safe is just an amazing effort. And I think that anyone that has been to Meredith Music Festival or Golden Plains would like to thank and congratulate you, on an amazing 20 years, and may it continue without commercial support for at least another 20 years. We'd really look forward to that.
Thanks, V.
Great.
Thanks, Triple R, too.
Bob.
Thank you very much, Triple R.
Absolute pleasure. I'm going to leave you with Band of Horses. Now, this happened with one of the – it's the extremes. I don't know what we're due for this
beautiful weather.
This
beautiful
Meredith, weather. I think, absolutely. It's supposed to be just perfect.
21 and sunny. We've been promised.
But there was a scorcher.
05.
There was worry.
06.
07?
06.
And there was a lot of people concerned about many, many things that were going on. People, obviously, from the crew were looking at radars, watching fires happen, et cetera. So,
my skin just crawled thinking about that.
I can only
it was
imagine.
Hot.
Very hot. And this just happened at such a beautiful time of the night. And I think that this band is a band that really actually understood the essence of what was going on at Band of Horses. It was just one of those moments where, you know, everything feels so right. And the night fell, the lights came on, and it was just an amazing moment. So I'm going to leave you. Thank you to Neil for the extra time tonight. He will be coming in with Osmood shortly. This is Band of Horses and Funeral. Thanks, gents.
Thank you, Pete.